And let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we once again approach thy word this morning, believing, Lord, that you yourself have come down in the form of your Holy Spirit, showing yourself to the world as a pillar of fire. And believing that as Brother Branham said, the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium, we ask, Father, now that you would be with us this morning as we study further the message of your prophet from the spoken word, his original seed. And help us, Father, to understand the meaning of that, that the spoken word is the original seed. And if it's an original seed, there's other seeds that must be just like it, that come forth from that seed as a pattern and will bring forth and express the same life that was in that seed. Help us, Father, as we study thy word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If we open our Bibles this morning to Genesis 1, verse 11. And reading, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Notice in verse 11 and 12, we see the law of reproduction. Every seed must bring forth after its kind. Now, this word kind was spoken of in verse 12, was a Hebrew word, M-I-Y-N, and it's pronounced mean. And the word means species or refers to nature. Let every seed bring forth after its own species or after its own nature. Therefore, God's law of reproduction speaks totally against hybridization. Hybridization would bring two different species together or natures, and it would produce a life that's not natural. Then we can see that God's law of reproduction is meant to be a protective law that would preserve the species or nature that he placed in the seed. Now in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or mature, complete, shall be as his master. Now, this word perfect comes from the Greek word that does not mean perfect as though you've reached some sort of perfect state where you make no errors. But the word simply means to equip. Therefore, we should read the statement of Jesus here in Luke 6 and 40, as the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is equipped by his master shall be as his master. And why is that? Because it really doesn't matter what teacher teaches you. If you sit under a false teacher, you will hear false teaching, and thus your mind will be filled with error. And excuse me, I said that wrong. It really matters who teaches you, all right? Because if you sit under a false teacher, you'll hear false teaching, and thus your mind will be filled with error, and you'll live out that error. But if your teacher is a true teacher, then what he teaches you is truth, and that truth will live itself out in your lives as one who is true. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, verse 13 to 17, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Martin Luther summed up those words in his commentary on the book of Romans. He said, even though they say that they hear, they boast in vain unless they hear a true preacher. For to hear false prophets means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor do they preach the true word of God. Now, it's interesting because you see the people that are on the radio, people that are on the television, as Brother Branham said, well, Brother Branham, just think, you know, if you had your meetings and television. Just think how many people you could win. And he said it wasn't for them. The people that are on the radio, the people that are on the television, their ministry is not for the bride. It's for the world. You know, even the guy named, you know, the boy, he's got the books. He's from Texas. He's got the smiley face. And Joel, what? Yeah, yeah. You know, the guy is so perverted, you know, that when he was on Larry King, and Larry King asked him, he said, is it true that no man can come to God except through Jesus Christ? He said, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. What's he even doing in the pulpit? He's not a preacher of the gospel. He's a preacher of Joel Osteen's philosophies on how to be successful, or how to be, you know, have a smile, and how to attract people. You know, he's got the same thing that back in Brother Branham's day, who was the guy that was the Norman Vincent Peale. You know, he had the great big church, the big cathedral, and Norman Vincent Peale, the, you know, right thinking, you know, the right type of, just a bunch of hogwash, just philosophy. And Paul says, unless they're called, what are they doing preaching anyway? He says, even though they say they hear, they boast in vain unless they're true preachers, or unless they hear a true preacher, for to hear a false prophet means as much as not to hear. They hear, but they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor do they preach the true word of God. There are four statements which follow one after another in such a way as one leads to the other, but so that the last forms the foundation on which the others rest. Thus, number one, it is impossible that those preach who are not sent. If a man doesn't even know where his salvation comes from, do you think he's sent by God? I think the devil sent him. All right? It is impossible that those hear who are without a preacher. It is impossible that they believe who do not hear. It is impossible that they call upon him who do not believe. To these must be added a fifth. It is impossible that they do not call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. If he does not send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. So if they're preaching falsely, their preaching is no preaching at all. What are people even listening to them for? They're filling their minds with falsehoods. They're confusing their minds between truth and error. You see? And this is Martin Luther quoting on Paul here. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear would hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. I've gotten to the point where if I hear preaching on the radio, I turn it off. I know it's error. Oh, you might say, well, he's quoting the gospel. Yes, about 99% true, but the greatest lie is 1% error. Why would you want to listen to a liar? If they're not preaching this end time message, they're off the word. And even some who claim to be preaching it are off the word. Then also they who hear would hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to call. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe. Such callers do not call. They will be damned because they should be saved by a falsehood. As we read in Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, then only they can preach with certainty who preach without error. Now can you imagine in Noah's day? Let's go to Noah's day. You have God sent a prophet. He's got a message. Come into the ark, you'll be saved. There's only one ark. You got to come into this ark, be saved. They say, well, you know, it's possible maybe that there is, could be some rain coming. We've never had rain before. So 99% of them said he's a skeptic. You know, he's just a weirdo. But those that hung around, did they come into the ark? No, they didn't. Well, you know what? If it's true that it will rain, and it could rain a whole lot maybe, let's go to the highest mountain peak. For certainly the rain won't come to the highest mountain peak. And those that had their own way about doing it, they perished. There was one message, one ark, and you had to go into that ark. And let's face it, God only ordained eight because there was only room for eight humans in that ark. So God knew that they wouldn't believe. And in fact, because God knew they wouldn't believe, God allowed false preachers with their own message in that day. Now we know what Paul said in Romans 10, and we know what he said in 2 Corinthians 11, and again in the book of Galatians chapter 1, that if they receive a wrong word, they will receive a wrong spirit. How then can we think that anyone who sits under a wrong ministry and has a wrong conception of the message has a right spirit? And let's face it, the only right spirit is the Holy Spirit, and any spirit other than the Holy Spirit is a wrong spirit. I don't care how nice it is, it's a wrong spirit. Like Brother Brown said, the kind old priest. Then having a wrong conception is having a wrong quickening to life, because the word conception means to quicken to life. We know that Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23 that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And I will ask you this, can anyone be born again of the incorruptible seed sitting under Joel Osteen? Or Oral Roberts, or Billy Graham? You preach a Trinitarian God, and you might as well be preaching Catholicism, because that's where it came out of. Paganism, because that's where it came out of. And you think you're going to be saved under that? You think anybody listening to those men is going to be saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, sitting under that teaching? No, I don't think so. Jesus told us in his parable of the sower that the seed of the sower sowed, or the seed that the sower sowed, is the word of God. And if every seed must produce a life according to the law of reproduction, which states that every seed must bring forth after its kind or its nature, then to receive a wrong word is to receive a wrong seed, and therefore must produce a wrong spirit or a wrong life. How could it be any other way? Did you know that Brother Branham said that we must have a right teaching in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? To receive the seal of God. And if you don't receive the seal of God, there is only one seal left, and that's the seal of Satan, which is the mark of the beast. And did you know that all that do not have the mark of God in their forehead receive the mark of the beast? Well, they got a mark all right, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the unholy spirit. Look at their life. Now notice that Jesus, up to this point, in the parable of Luke chapter 6, has been speaking about not following blindly, because you could be following someone who is blind as you are. And then he adds, he tells us that if your teacher has rightfully equipped you, then you will become as that teacher. In other words, you will think like him, you'll speak like him, you'll act like him. Now that is not to say that in the flesh you'll look the same, or even talk the same, or have the same gestures. But we're guided by one thing, and that is the Word of God. And you'll have the same Word of God upon your lips. He said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, the Son worketh hitherto. Then the Son will do and act and speak and think as the Father acts and speaks and thinks. If the Holy Ghost is the teacher, and if a man is yielded to the Spirit of God, he will do as the Father has shown him to do. And the people that look to that ministry will reflect the same principles and will become in a fashion as the Lord, or as the Lord is, to the disciple. The disciple is not above the master, but everyone that is equipped by his master shall be as his master. Now catch what Jesus is saying here in verse 41. And why beholdest then thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either now cast out, how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine own eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now if you become one with your teacher, how is it that you're looking for fault in the teacher? It makes no sense to me. But they did it to Moses. He led them by following Christ, and they followed him as he followed Christ. And yet they wanted to stone him. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and yet they wanted to stone Paul. And the same with William Branham, the same with Jesus. They tried to stone him many times. So we see Jesus warning the disciples about getting their focus right. Now notice the very next thing Jesus tells us here. For a good tree bringeth forth corrupt... a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruits. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. And we know that in the message Anointed Ones at the End Time, William Branham taught us that the fruit is the teaching of the season. What they are teaching for the season, in other words, the fruit is what they're teaching. The fruit is their ministry. And if Jesus told us that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, then a good tree cannot teach false doctrine. Period. I do not believe that the fivefold ministry can teach false doctrine once they've been quickened by God. Now remember, Jesus, even Jesus himself, although Jesus never taught falsely in any means, form, or shape, but Jesus, until God quickened him and anointed him to the task at hand, he worked in a carpentry shop. Didn't have much to say. Didn't have actions to behold. Worked in a carpentry shop. But once anointed by the power and Spirit of God, the Word of God became flesh in that man Jesus. Then you beheld his actions, you beheld his words, you saw God manifested before you. Now, if Jesus told us that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, then a good tree cannot teach false doctrine. It's impossible. And if you're a good tree, then you cannot teach error. Your teaching will be right smack on target, or you'll shut your mouth. You won't speak on that subject. For the word sin means to miss the mark. But the word righteous means to be rightly wise. And how can a righteous man be righteous or rightly wise if he's unrightly wise in his thinking? How can a righteous man speak unrighteous things? How can a well bringing forth fresh water, sweet water, bring forth bitter? It can't. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Now remember, the heart represents their understanding. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You preach what you are, what you see, what's in your mind. The seed that's in there has to come out through here, through your actions. So when a man's off the word, stay away from him. Just let him be. The Bible says after two admonitions, reject as a heretic. Now reject doesn't mean to call him names and be mean-spirited toward him. It just means let him alone. Have nothing to do with him. Now in the light of what Jesus is saying here, he is saying if your understanding is good, you will bring forth good things. And if your understanding is evil, then you will bring forth evil things. And if you recall, several years ago, we preached a series called The Garden of Your Mind. And we showed that the mind is a garden, and in it are planted many seeds. And the seed that are planted in your mind are those things which become manifested in your life. Therefore, whatsoever you sow, you will surely reap. Literally. And therefore, what things you are feeding on, your mind on, will become manifested in your life. So be very careful what you're feeding your mind on. Because it'll take over. Now, this is the end time, and people must manifest what seed that they are. That is what Brother Branham was saying in The Spoken Word is Original Seed, paragraph 91. He says, if you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. My admonition to every one of you is begin your day with the Bible. Open it, read it, and commune with God upon it. End your day with the Bible. Open it, read it, and commune with God upon His Word. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling... Now remember, God's rain is His doctrine. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1... Verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass. And we know His Word is His life, His Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. And Brother Brown says then, when the water falls upon the entire Word in your mind, it will produce exactly what's in your garden. So if the doctrine is falling upon your ears, that's why I believe, and I've seen it manifested over and over again. People can go on in this message for 20, 30 years. Nothing happened to them. Nothing in their life. Just they got a message. God sent a prophet. Got a little bit of enlightenment on serpent seed, a few things like that. But nothing happens. Their life's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But once the doctrine of Christ, once that falls upon their ears, their soul, it'll either manifest them as Son of God and you'll see changes real quick. Or you'll see changes to the badder, to the worse. It'll manifest that they're nothing but pure serpent seed sitting in the pews. And they will become very contrary. And many of them go out into the world after that. I've seen it. Men come after 20 years and say, you know, my whole life's changed. I've got peace like I never had before. I've got confidence like I've never had before. Others, they reject it, they go away. But Brother Brown said, if you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. The doctrine will produce exactly what's in your garden. So what's in your garden? Son of God seed or just church member? You know, that is so simple to understand. I don't know how people could miss and how people could make that so complicated. If God gives you a promise, He's giving you His Word, right? If I say I'm giving you my promise, I'm giving you my Word. And if you take that Word or that promise into your heart and believe it and water it with the doctrine, then it has to become manifested Word. That's the law of reproduction. It has to come alive and manifest to you. It has to. There's no way of stopping it because His Word, it's His Word. His promise to you are seeds. And they're eternal seeds with eternal life, and they cannot die. They've got to produce. So if you take that seed and plant it in the garden of your mind, it has to bring into manifestation that seed into your vessel. Oh, if we could just only grasp what's being said here, it would change our way of approach to the Word forever. You see, he's saying if you receive the fullness of the Word, and it could only be done in this age. If you receive the fullness, every divine promise of God is in you. Every divine promise of God, if you receive that into your heart and water it by the doctrine of Christ. What's the doctrine of Christ? There's one God and He had a Son. And now that Son of God's seed is in me. And I receive every single word that's in here. You know what's going to happen? The very life that was in Christ is going to manifest in you. Amen. And the very promises that came to the people through that Son are going to come to people through you as a Son. Yes. Then the fullness of the Godhead will manifest itself bodily in His church. Amen. Then the works will be manifested in Him are the same. I'd like to just reword that a little bit. Then the works that were manifested in Him will be the same works that will be manifested in you. Because it is the same seed life that was in Him is now in you. And it must produce the same life. For it is the same seed Word of God. God's Son was His example seed. And as we mentioned the other day, an example seed is a pattern seed. And what His life was when the Spirit poured upon Him after His baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon Him. The very life that He produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same thing that He did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. So if I have, you have, we have, the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus, it'll quicken this mortal body. Not this body once it's dead, quicken it out of the grave. It'll do that too. Because it raised Jesus from the grave. But it'll quicken this mortal body. And the word mortal means a body which is capable of dying. Now, once it's dead, it's not capable of dying anymore. It's dead. But it'll quicken this mortal body, bring this mortal body to life, and reflect or manifest Son of God's seed. Son of God's seed has to bring forth Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
How many here believe they have Son of God's seed in them? Well, you watch then. You take the doctrine of Christ and you keep pouring it upon your soul and you watch Son of God materialize. It'll take over your thoughts, your actions, your feelings. And we know that, as Jesus says, whatsoever make, in Ephesians 5:13, whatsoever doth make manifest is manifested by the light. So then we must understand that all seeds here on earth must come into manifestation of what they are, and the nature of the seed that they are will manifest itself openly once the light strikes the seed. And the light is the doctrine of Christ. And how do I know this? Because he that has the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. So he that hath the Son, he that echoes the Son, echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. The same Son of God life that was in the original Son of God seed now becomes manifested in those who receive that Son of God seed into themselves. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so Jesus continues as we read from Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do nothing, or do not the things which I say? And how can you say that you believe this message if you're not living this message? How can you say that you've applied that token if your life doesn't show that you've applied that token? In Luke 6:47, he said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and he laid the foundation on a rock. Now notice he did not say rocks. But he laid, not plural rocks, but rock singular. And Jesus told Peter that that rock is revelation. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon this rock. It's been revealed to you, Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Revelation. A rock represents revelation. And since there is only one Lord and one faith, and faith is revelation, then this single rock that the man built his house upon is the rock of revelation of that one Lord, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this man built his house upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, and when the flood arose, and remember the Bible tells us that the devil will come in like a flood. So when the devil rose up and comes at you from all sides like a flood, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Not built on a bunch of rocks. It was founded upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, and nothing could shake that rock, that house. And remember, he built it. He dug deep into that rock. I like that. How many are digging into the revelation of Jesus Christ? He dug deep into that rock, and since the rock couldn't be moved, then the house, which was attached to the rock, not just laying on top of it, dug into it. Rooted and grounded, it couldn't be shaken. Couldn't be moved by the flood. I like it. But he that heareth and doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. Just laid it on top of the earth. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. This guy had no foundation. But Brother Branham said the Catholic Church is a bottomless pit. Remember, Satan's thrown into a bottomless pit? He said there's no foundation in a bottomless pit. The doctrine of the Catholic Church is without foundation. Because it's based on Mary and, you know, a bunch of Babylonian claptrap and balderdash, as Brother Vail used to say. He had no foundation, but the house just sat on the earth, meaning it was earthy. No real substance, no foundation to anchor it to the rock. Portable. Portable. So you can move it here, move it there, move it here. If you get tired of this, well, you know, I don't like what he's preaching. I'll just go to another church. I'll just move my house. You've got a mobile home. Nothing to hold it through the midst of the trials. And so it just eroded with the waters of separation and the house was swept away in the flood. Now I want you to notice the only difference between these two houses is one heard and responded to what he heard. But the other heard the same word as the first did, but did not respond to what he heard. Thus the revelation that the one had, he was to do what he heard. And the revelation of the other was that he didn't have to do what he heard. All I have to do, I just have to believe it. Now come on, you know that's right. How can a man do unless he first thinks to do? And how can a man not do unless there are no thoughts to do? Let me put it another way. What saved Noah and his household? His believing God that it was going to rain, or his actions which came as a result of his believing God? You can say you believe the message all you want, but if you don't apply it, which means you got to get that paint out of the can, you got to get the roller, you got to start spreading it. You can say, well, I'm going to paint the house. I say, all right, Josh, you know a little bit about painting now, a little bit. You'll learn more. Okay, Josh, paint the house. Well, okay, good. Wife brings home the paint, paints there. Comes home. Well, Josh, you didn't paint the house. Well, I thought about it. Thought a lot about it. Is that applying the paint? Got to get it out of the can. Got to put it on the brush, put it on the roller. You got to slap it on the walls. And some people slap it a little bit better than others. Same with the message. It's not just to be thought about. Not just to be meditated on. Not just to be talked about. It's to be lived. It's to be lived. God wants to see the life of His Son in you. He wants to see the Son of God seen in you. He wants to see it manifested in you. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. God told Noah it would rain, and God also told him to build an ark to avoid being drowned in that rain. You think Noah didn't preach that? The Bible says for 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. What's righteousness? A right word for a right season. How many people that heard Moses or Noah's message and did nothing about it? 120 years of ministry, I'm sure he came in contact with quite a few people. I'm sure this man who was very peculiar, building an ark up on the top of a mountain, I'm sure his message got out to all the world. You don't think they had TV back then? They had TV back then. Brother Bram said, we've always had TV. Always had radio. Those waves have always been there. You don't think they didn't have spacecraft back then and airplanes and those things? Why did they have landing strips up in the top of the Andes Mountains? Why do they have pictograms up there that you can only see from a mile above the earth? You think people had some conception in their mind to just go out and do those things? They did them for a purpose. I believe they had more advanced spacecraft than we have today. But when there was no sun for 240 days, even if they had solar-powered aircraft, they had to come down. There was no fuel that could last for 240 days because that's how long it took before the waters diminished from the earth. I believe there's a lot of things that we don't understand today. There was advanced civilizations far, far greater than what we have today. Brother Bram said that it was a nuclear bomb that tilted the earth that caused the great flood. Even in the prehistoric documents in India. They've got these green glass lakes all over there. They say that their country was at war with Atlantis at one time, and it was a nuclear war. Well, what little we don't know of the pre-flood civilization. Very advanced. They've got people in the Andes Mountains. They found skulls of people that had brain surgery five different times over a period of many, many, many years. They had holes cut perfectly round holes that had been cut in the skull and the skull placed back in. And operate, and then do it five times over many, many years, and that person stay alive. It wasn't just somebody took a club, bash him in the head, got a perfectly round hole from bashing him in the head. They operated, brain surgery. They had paint that lasts for ages, not only decades, centuries, not only centuries, millennia. We can't even get paint to stay on a house for 20, 30 years. They had running water in the pyramids. They had a lot of things that we don't understand. So you don't think his message got out around the world? I believe it did. And like today, there's a lot of people knowing judgment's coming. But the thing of it is, they all have their own idea how to get through it. But we have a prophet who told us that if we are in Christ, before one bomb strikes the earth, we'll be gone. That's your only way out of this, what's coming on the earth, is to be in Christ. How many people heard his message and did nothing about it? And how many heard his message and tried to do it their own way with their own plans of escape? Oh, if he was right, we'll just go to the highest hill. We'll wait it out. But the waters covered the entire earth, so their plans didn't work, did it? Well, we'll just fly above it. And then you run out of gas. You'll run out of petroleum. You'll run out of nuclear fusion, you'll run out of solar power, and then you'll be plummeted back to those swirling seas. No, they didn't listen. And their plans didn't work. Because there's only one way of escape in each age, and that is the message for the hour. And God sends that message through a prophet. And you must abide in it and walk in it and act upon it. You must hear it, recognize it, and act upon it. In fact, that's what Brother Brand preached. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word. So his doing what God had instructed him to do, which was to build the ark, is what saved him and his household. And in this hour, we've been commanded to apply the token. And I just don't understand how people can think to apply the token means simply to believe it. Or to get together and discuss it. If I told you to apply the paint, like I mentioned before, you'd go find yourself a roller. You'd find yourself a paintbrush. You'd find yourself a pan. You'd find yourself maybe some tarps to put down. And you'd do something about it. You'd open the can. And you'd apply it. You put a little action into your painting if you're going to apply the paint. And Brother Bram said we must apply it. Then we must hear it, recognize it, and act upon the Word of God. Otherwise, it shows we really don't believe what we heard. And you know, that's exactly what the Apostle John said in 1 John 3:9. He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Because after all, every seed that shall bring forth after its own kind, if you've got God's seed in you, you'll bring forth God's life. That's the law of reproduction, Genesis 1:11. Now when John said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, the Weiss translation and the Weymouth translation, they both say he does not habitually keep on sinning. And the Schofield, in his notes, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not initiate sin. Now, you might fall, but you don't go out looking for it. You're not focused on it. Sometimes it happens. You get caught up into it. That happens. But you don't go looking for it. You don't initiate it. Paul said in Hebrews 6, he said, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." So notice, he said, after the rain comes upon it, then that which bringeth forth herbs is meat. Now, not meat like it's, you know, edible, but it's meat, M-E-E-T. That means it's appropriate for them by whom it is dressed. In other words, the guy that dresses the soil and plants a certain crop, it is appropriate that the seed that he has sown, when it begins to come forth, will appear just as he had sown it. It's appropriate to sow watermelon seeds if you want watermelon. And if you want wheat, you must appropriately sow wheat seed. So it is appropriate that when you that you get what you sowed for. And that shows that it is blessed by God, because it is a law of life, the law of reproduction. According to Genesis 1:11, every seed must bring forth after his kind. And so when it comes forth into manifestation, it receives blessings from God. But notice then that if what comes up is not what the Son of Man sowed, what if the rain comes down upon the soil and all it produces is a rather twisted and prickly sort of nature? Then what? But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So we see that God's doctrine is likened to the rain that comes down from heaven and brings that tender herb and grasses to life. And this life that comes because of the doctrine, the rain, is a blessing from God. Hebrews 6 and 7, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet or appropriate for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." So we see when the doctrine comes, it will manifest both kinds of a seed life, twins. The doctrine will bring to life whatever the seed's true nature is. If the seed is not the seed of God, the doctrine will expose that. And if the seed of God, the doctrine, the rain, will cause that, they want to cause Son of God seed to manifest Son of God nature, Son of God life. That is what water does to the plant. When the plant is watered and receives light upon it after the watering, it has to expose what nature is in the seed. Genesis 1:11, every seed will bring forth after its kind. That is God's law of reproduction. It's his law of life. In Genesis 1:11, we see that the law of reproduction, that every seed brings forth after its kind or nature. Therefore, the life that is in the seed must become manifested. And therefore, whatever life is in the seed will come forth in an outward manifestation in due season. Our thoughts then are that the seeds of our actions. And therefore, if a man is righteous, it is because he has a righteous thoughts. Proverbs 12 and 5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Therefore, what distinguishes a righteous man from the wicked is his thoughts first, and then his actions which follow his thoughts. Psalm 10 and verse 4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." So Brother Bram taught us that the simple principle that before you can actually do an action in your flesh, you must first have to think it in your mind. Therefore, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. Since we know that God created man in his own image, that we must consider that as God brings forth into manifestation his thoughts and desires of his heart, we see the same thing in Jeremiah 23 and 20. "Then so must man do the same thing. Therefore, if you have a true ministry of God, it'll bring forth a true word. If you have a false ministry, it'll bring forth false word, false seed." In Jeremiah 23 and verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." Notice, they make you vain. "They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they shall say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until it have executed, until it have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Now we know that Paul said in Romans 10, and we also know what he said in 2 Corinthians 11, and again in the book of Galatians, that if we receive a wrong word, then we will receive a wrong spirit. How then can we think that anyone who sits under a wrong ministry and has a wrong deception, a wrong conception of the message, could have a right spirit, which is the Holy Spirit? A wrong conception is a wrong quickening to life. Conception means to quicken to life. We know Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus told us that the sower sowed a seed, which is the word of God, and that seed will produce a life according to the law of reproduction, which states that every seed must bring forth after its own kind, after its own life. Therefore, to receive a wrong word will and must produce a wrong spirit or a wrong life. How can it be any other way? Did you know that Brother Brown said that we must have a right teaching in order to receive the Holy Spirit? So how could you listen to the radio? How could you listen to television? In fact, when Brother Brown said, if you're going to apply the token, you need to get the television out of the house. So how can you say that we've applied the token and have the television in the house? I ask you, give me a good interpretation of what Brother Branham said. And I'll tell you, he said, I'd take a shotgun to it. In order to be able to distinguish then between the two of anything, you must look at the life it's bearing. And if the message says to do this and you don't do that, it's not doing what the message said. Therefore, in the spoken words, original seed, paragraph 92, in closing, Brother Brown says, see where it's at? See? That's why I believe the word. It's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do we do? Make a million more in 44? Baptists, Presbyterians, and whatever more, Pentecostals? But where is that manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? Where he said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first. Where is that kind of a seed coming from? The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. If the waters fall on you, you say, bless God. Let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so, and I don't believe that stuff. You're the denominational. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's what kind of a seed was planted. Don't misunderstand me. I love you, honey. I'm trying to get this to you, paragraph 93. I will, and I'll stop at it when I finish today. I'll let it go. But I want you to know one time what's right and the reason I believe what I believe. I believe the devil's deceived you, frankly. I know he has. According to God's word, it can't fail. He's deceived you. Yes, sir. That's why I preach those things the way I do. Because God's word said it. Oh, say, well, Brother Branham, this is a different day. It's the same word, though. They got some wheat out of the garner from back there that was in the time of Joseph and put it and planted it here a couple years ago. Did you see that in the magazine? And it produced a crop of wheat. It was still wheat. That's the reason. The only thing is needed was just some water. So what seed do we have here and in the spoken word? If we have all of it in here, it'll produce sons of God ready for adoption. But if you got to hold on to your TVs, got to hold on to your little worldly ways, you're not really applying it. Mentally, you're applying it. But mentally, applying paint doesn't get the job done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we ask that you would help us to overcome ourselves. Help us to die out to self. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to apply the token. That the very life, and your prophet said, if we have the entire Word of God seed in us, it'll produce the entire Word of God in us when the light strikes us. Now my question, Father, is have we received the doctrine of Christ? Do we understand the difference between you and your Son? Do we understand that we are sons? Then if we are sons and the Son of God's seed has been planted in us, will it produce Son of God? And the truth of the matter is that we do nothing but what you show us to do. And if you showed us by a vindicated prophet to get rid of those TV sets and we don't do it, then we're hearing but we're not recognizing and we're not acting upon your word. So we just commit it unto thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You dress modestly. What's happening? The body's being conformed to the Word of God. You see? It's just that simple. The Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father do. The Son can say nothing but what the Father tells Him to say. I have no doctrine but the Father's who sent me. And I didn't come to do my will. That's the hardest one for us. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. So no matter what Son of God we are, no matter what Son of God we look at, every seed must come forth in the likeness of the original seed. And if we are Son of God's seed, then we will produce Son of God results. Therefore, we see the trail of adoption and the life of sons who God used to manifest Himself to the world throughout the ages. We saw it in Moses. We saw it in Joseph. We saw it in David and Daniel and Isaiah and in Jesus and Paul and Luther and Wesley and William Branham. And will it be in you? That's the question tonight. God said He would have adopted sons, and He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So we see there's a pattern, which is the firstborn son to be conformed to, but there's a process getting us there. All that He foreknew, He has called. Have you heard His calling? Have you heard the shout, the message? God Himself come down to let you know you're a son. All that He's called, He has justified. And how are you justified? We are justified by faith, by revelation. And so when I step into that call, I say, God, I know I'm a son. What would you have your servant to do? What would you have your son to do? Joseph said, Daddy, what would you have your son to do? And he said, you know, your brothers are down at Shechem. And he said, I want you to go down to Shechem and check up on your brothers. Now, why would the 17-year-old, the youngest of them, why would Dad give him the authority to go check up on his brothers? Because he was an obedient son in the stature of his daddy. He loved his daddy. He wanted to please his daddy. The others didn't. Not only check up on your brothers, but make sure the sheep are okay. Now he's got 11 brothers that were older than he was, but why would he have to check up to make sure the sheep were okay? Because daddy didn't trust that maybe some of the sheep were neglected while the boys were partying. Or maybe some of the sheep were sold off so they'd have a little few extra bucks for their alcohol and their party habits. But here's a son I can trust. Here's the one I put my colored garment on to show him. He's the guy that has a heart like my heart. Can God put His garment, the robe of His Word, on you? Can you say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to express myself through"? Hear ye Him. So you can see, or can you see your calling? Have you heard your calling? Has He revealed to you your role in the family? Have you stepped into your role? Have you seen the rejection that must come to bring you into a further defining of your role? Because in every case, the brethren always rejected the one who could see their role. God called each one of them. Joseph, Moses, Paul, all the way down. They heard the call. And perhaps for a time, they didn't understand the calling, like Moses. When he tried to fulfill the calling by beating up an Egyptian, all he had for his efforts was one stinking dead Egyptian. But God revealed to them His plan for their lives in due season, which was their role to perform in their hour. And when they stepped out in faith and obedience to their call, in every case, their brothers didn't understand their role. And so they persecuted them and rejected them because they misunderstood them. But needless to say, they endured because they knew who they were and they knew their role. And they knew that their father had called them for that role out of a vast family of brethren. And so they were mocked. They were made fun of. And their life was filled with the lonely trail that they had to bear by themselves. But once God their Father saw that they were obedient to the heavenly vision, He crowned their ministry. He crowned their sonship. He crowned their role by calling them up even higher. And once God crowned their ministry, their obedience as sons, He took them off the scene and He called them home to rest. And I know we're all waiting for a rapture, but God's waiting on us. Brother Ram said that. He said, God is waiting on you. It's not you waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's called you. He's told you. He's coming for adopted sons. We all know it. It's time you live up to it. And we know that this predestination to the adoption of sons, spoken of in Romans 8, Ephesians 1, Galatians 4, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 7, shows us that not only the pattern of behavior is predestinated by the seed we receive. As Brother Bram said, if Son of God's seed is in us, we will produce in our body Son of God life. For Brother Bram said that Jesus was the example seed or the pattern seed, but also the very path that leads us to the pattern for adoption is predestinated by God. The pattern is what we are to be conformed to, so the pattern is predestinated in us, and so is the path or the trail of adoption the trail of adoption. So in all seeds, are its attributes and characteristics, they're already in there. If you plant watermelon in the ground, you're going to get watermelon. You're not going to get a wheat. And if I plant a watermelon seed, I know that I'm looking for something that's kind of big and green, has some stripes, nice and watery on the inside, pink on the inside with a little white rind around it. It's going to weigh about so much. It's going to have a nice smooth outer skin, nice texture. You know, I already know what's going to come up. If the water hits it, and the sun it. But the Bible says that they won't come to the light lest their deeds be proven. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But he that cometh to the light, what is he? He's a son of God. He's a son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your light. We thank you for coming down in this hour with a message. We thank you for ordaining William Branham to be that obedient son. And yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, just like your son Jesus did. And we know that's the way we've got to come. Because in our flesh, we're just not so obedient just because we want to be obedient. Sometimes it takes your hammer upon us. And so, Father, we ask that we be very, very sensitive, Lord, that it doesn't take a big spanking, only takes a little spanking to get us to line up. And it doesn't take a whole lot of spankings, it just takes just a little talking to. Help us, Father, to become what you saw us before the foundations of the world. Help us, Lord, along that path, because we know that as soon as we become obedient to the call, then our brethren don't understand our call. And so they begin to harass us. They want us to conform to the church. They want us to conform to them. Joseph's brothers didn't like it because he was different. They wanted him to conform to them. And then when you begin to vindicate his role in the family through dreams and visions, that even irritated them more. And they wanted to kill him to prevent those visions and dreams from coming to pass. Yet he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he fulfilled each of those dreams and visions which you gave him, which were encouragement that he might understand more fully and more definitive his role in the family. So, Father, help us to step into our call, that you might be able to begin ministering to us in a supernatural way, because that is a pattern. And showing us more definitively who we are in this hour of the great time of adoption. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, "The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee." Numbers 22.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all, and greet our guests tonight.